ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बालरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ सो हियर वी आर स्टार्टिंग अवर restarting our Panchadashi class with a long break, and I pray that we don't have any more breaks. And as you know, Panchadashi, like Bhagavad Gita, is Ashtadasha Adhyayini. Bhagavad Gita is a Panchadashi. Panchadasha Adhyayini. Panchadashi. And here we are seeing the first part of Panchadashi, and there we are seeing we are supposed to start the third chapter. The very first chapter, in all these, the chaste text where the nature of reality is very clearly unfolded. And the very first chapter, we understand the Chit Swarupam of the Atma. The second chapter, in Mahabhuta Viveka Prakranam, there we understand the existence being the nature of the reality. Again, now in this third chapter that we are supposed to start today. Am I correct? Okay. I mean, it'd be nice. I think I really should do the summary of the first and second chapters. Let me tell you. I've introduced a chapter today here. And this third chapter is actually for Pancha Kosha Viveka Prakaranam. So Mahabhuta Viveka Prakranam was the topic of the second chapter. And now we have Pancha Kosha Viveka Prakranam. So Viveka itself means discriminative understanding. And in every first five chapters, we are understanding a lot of things very discriminatively. Distinctly, very clearly. And how we understood what these five elements are. Just in the previous chapter, I can briefly say the entire objective universe, including one's own body, mind, sense complex, is nothing but the elemental model. And his entire elemental world, which is inclusive of one's own body, mind, and complex, enjoys its existence in the reality, abstract truth, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. That is why this pure knowledge of pure consciousness alone lends existence for the jagat. Just as water lends existence for the stillness of water, just as water lends existence for the waves, so also it is this consciousness, subtlest reality, obtaining in your consciousness lends existence for the matter in its entirety, obtaining in the form of the entire objective universe. We can say existence is enjoyed by the world. Whenever the world enjoys existence, it is the waking state. In fact, only in the waking state, the world enjoys the status of being existent. In deep sleep state, world continues to exist, but it loses its status of being existent. So what is that which really lends existence to the world? It is the knowledge, manifestation of knowledge. And what a source of knowledge is the pure knowledge reality. Therefore, existence of the world is a thing but pure knowledge, pure consciousness. It's called a Sat Swarupam. And again, being the existence of the world is the very nature of the reality. The Sat is the Swarupam of the reality, which is Chit. The Sat is the Swarupam of the Chit. Existence is the very nature of the pure consciousness. The Sat. And now we're going to see again that existence, which is the, in the previous chapter we understood, we understand the reality in terms of its nature of existence, in which the entire elemental elements, all elements and the entire elemental universe enjoys its existence. Therefore, now we want to know, what is that existence? The meaning of the word existence. There is always, we should see the meaning of the corresponding object of the word. What is the meaning? An object obtaining in a given form, serving a given purpose, is always associated with any word. A word should denote its corresponding object. And here, a word is supposed to denote only the word, only the objects. But whereas here, the existence is a word which does not denote any object, but which denotes something else, which is inseparable from all the objects. Okay, generally, a word, a term, is supposed to denote a given form, serving a given purpose, which happens to be only an object of knowledge. Whereas, here the word existence, what does the word existence denote? The word existence cannot denote any object obtaining any given form, serving any given purpose. But, the word existence denotes the abstract truth, which is inseparable from every form associated with serving any given purpose, available for objectification. So existence is there inseparably with every object. So object is what? An object is form, name and function. An object is nothing but a form denoted by its corresponding word, serving a given purpose, perceptible through any object, given means of, external means of knowledge, is called object. Now, this object is inseparable. The form, name and function is, means every form, name and function. Every form indicated by any word associated with any function enjoys existence. So the reality obtaining in the form of pure existence is inseparable from all the forms, names and functions. So when you see the world, when you say the world is, then world enjoys existence. So there is existence. The existence of the world is the truth. Like what you say ocean is, you mean water is. Ocean is means water is. Water is means the ocean enjoys existence. Ocean enjoys existence means the existence enjoyed by the ocean is nothing but water. Existence enjoyed by the ocean, the form and function called ocean, is nothing but water. So with reference to ocean, you can say existence is water. The meaning of the word existence with reference to ocean is, the form, name and function ocean is the water. Similarly, what is the meaning of the word existence, which is the absolute existence? When I say water is the meaning of the word existence with reference to ocean, it's only relative existence. If you say gold is the meaning of the word existence with reference to any ornament, it's relative existence. If you say wood is the existence with reference to this form and function, with reference to any furniture, means that existence is the relative existence. Now we have to say, what is the absolute existence with reference to this entire cosmos? And when you say the world, we say ocean is, it means water is. If it means water, if it means water is, then it means ocean enjoys existence. And ocean enjoys existence means whenever you are seeing the ocean, you are seeing the truth, the water. Similarly here, when you say the world, the whole, the entire objective perceptible, the entire world, world objective world is, when you say the world enjoys existence, the world enjoys existence means, we can say the world is means the reality implied with the term Brahman is. And reality is means the world enjoys existence means, you know, that existence is the truth, the reality. Now, it is very clear, existence with reference to ocean is water, and it's all relative existence. And what is the meaning of the word existence? Absolutely, with reference to this entire cosmos. So we don't need to have any doubt now. Brahman is, Atma is, Paramatma is, Bhagavan is. How? The world is means there is Brahma in the form of existence of the world. There is Brahma in the form of existence of the world. When I see the world, I do see nothing but Brahma. Why? With the non-experienceable, imperceptible, non-objectifiable, the reality which is not an object is very much here in the form of existence of the world. But I should be able to distinguish if that is, when I say the water is the existence with reference to ocean, I can say water is a meaning of the word existence with reference to this form, name and function called ocean. Similarly, what is the existence, meaning of the word existence with reference to this word of forms, names and functions? What is the meaning of the word existence with reference to this forms, names and functions? The world of forms, names and functions. And we need that existence is nothing but pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Sattis chitteva. Chideva sat sadeva chit. And to make it very clear, the next chapter begins. What is this now? To understand. So in the first chapter, this chit was introduced. The second chapter, sat was discussed. Now in the third chapter, we need to understand the existence with reference to this whole universe is nothing but pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And what is that? With reference to ocean, existence is water. With reference to the whole jagat, what is absolute existence? With reference to the whole jagat is what? It's pure knowledge, pure consciousness. It's said to be the truth, the reality, abstract, absolute reality, ultimate truth. And what, how to stumble upon, how to arrive at, how to discover what consciousness is. Because consciousness is not an object. Because reality, the abstract, formless, all-pervasive reality has to be understood only in terms of its nature of knowing. And we have to understand it is not an object. It is not an object. Therefore, it is not perceptible. It is not the objectifiable. It is not an object, but the very source of everything, the source of knowledge, the source of the knower, rup of the knower, the truth of subject, object, and everything. Therefore, what, how to arrive at it? How to discover the non-discoverable? How to know the unknowable? Because knowable means the known, known means object. But how to arrive at the truth here? No, therefore, and the Upanishad, all the Upanishads, especially Taittiriya Upanishad, uses a very beautiful methodology. What is the method of unfoldment? And this methodology is the method of arriving at the truth, obtaining as one's own real nature. And in terms of the method of arriving at the reality of the whole cosmos, the method of arriving at the reality, obtaining as the existence of the whole world, in terms of its nature of knowledge, in terms of nature of pure consciousness as one's own self. How to arrive at it? See, you can never arrive at the reality as the knowledge object. You can arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing only as the self, not as an object. Therefore, and this unique method is used. It's called Pancha Kosha Viveka Prakriya. The prakriya, the method of analyzing the individual human being. Philosophical postmortem of an individual. Isn't it? How we are going to understand what every individual human being is. What are the aspects which constitute the individual human being? It's like, you know, peeling the banana. You peel layer by layer, not in banana, like onion. you peel, you know, there's so many layers. And you peel one by one, all the layers put together is what? One big onion. You peel layer after layer. And finally in the middle, what is there? Nothing is there, you will say, isn't it? Similarly, but here, it is not like that. When you analyze the individual, what an individual is? You take any one thing. What is this? What are all the things which form the? Take a flower. What is this flower? Oh, you can see the hold the flower in your hand. Oh, this is the stalk of the flower. This is the petals of the flower. The stamen of the flower. The color of the flower. You can see so many aspects which are put together, which form a flower. What is a car? A car, again, you have to see. The many spare parts. There's a steering, there's a, the doors, there's a seat, there's a wheels, there's an engine. There's so many spare parts. But all of them are fixed, assembled together very carefully, that all of them put together can function as one vehicle called a car, which serves a purpose. If you keep put all the spare parts as a heap in a garage, it doesn't serve any purpose. You have all the spare parts, brand new spare parts, you have all of them, but you are having them as a heap of spare parts of one car, a very highly, you know, the latest car, the biggest car, costliest car, all the spare parts you have bought them, but you haven't assembled them together, but all of them are kept in a garage, in a big, like a heap of spare parts. Can you call the car, even though all the spare parts you need for the car are there, still you cannot call it a car. Know why? It doesn't serve a purpose. Car means you can call it a car only when it serves a purpose. A car is a word denoting a given form which serves a given purpose. Nama, rupam, karma. Similarly, a human being also is what? Is not just something. Is a human being also is a being here which has a given purpose. And the ultimate purpose. And here, there's so many aspects really assembled together, form the human being. And then that's why it's something said, there's a knowledge involved. Knowledge involved. Suppose when somebody who assembles the car, now he must be highly knowledgeable. He must know where the steering should be, where the wheel should be, where the door should be. No. Where the engine should be. Only then the person who assembles the car can assemble it properly. He's an intelligent person. He knows how to assemble. So that it can become a proper car. Spare parts, he should know how to put the spare parts together. Very intelligently he must put them together. Only then it can serve the purpose of being a car. Even the word, the only that can be the meaning of the word car. Similarly here, there are many spare parts, many aspects intelligently put together alone form the human being, many aspects. Therefore, what we see outwardly as a gross physical body, the gross tangible physical heavy body, itself is not a human being. A human being is not just this physical form. Of course, you cannot think of a human being without the physical form. But physical form alone is not a human being. This is the first and the basic kindergarten level of understanding. What is that? You cannot imagine a human being without a gross physical form. But physical form, the physical body alone is not a human being. You know, it is just the engine alone cannot make a car without the engine inside. No, you can fix the wheels and the doors and make the car look like a car. There's no engine inside. There's a petrol tank inside. Will there be, can you call it a car? You can say it is a car, but it is dead in a way. No engine inside, no petrol tank inside. It cannot move. It can be kept inside the garage or even in the middle of the, somewhere in the middle of the airport also, you know, as a showpiece. It can't serve a purpose. That car, no, it is a proper car with all spare parts and doors and wheels and everything. It looks like a whole skeleton. It is a proper car, but still no engine inside, no petrol tank inside. It outwardly it looks a car, looks like a car. Still, you cannot call it a car. It's a dead car. There's no, there's no engine there, isn't it? Because it can't move. Therefore, similarly here, this externally perceptible gross physical form alone is not a human being, even though you cannot imagine a human being without the physical form. Therefore, here panchakosha viveka prakaranam. Panchakosha viveka prakaranam. It is the third chapter. Presents what? Like my panchakosha viveka is the topic of this third chapter. So, in fact, it will help you a lot. It is like, if you have missed Taittiriya Upanishad also, don't need to worry. It is like understanding the Taittiriya Upanishad, panchakosha prakriya thoroughly here. Only the words are different. I was thinking I may quote Taittiriya mantras in between, so that it's like doing both. Panchakosha prakriya of Taittiriya Upanishad and this chapter will be learned simultaneously together. Actually, the vision of the aim is to have the vision of the reality obtaining as the very truth of an individual, a reality of an individual in terms of its nature of consciousness. There's no way of arriving at consciousness. You can use the term consciousness, you can say. But what exactly the word consciousness means? We cannot denote any object here. Consciousness cannot, even the thought, consciousness is not the thought. Consciousness is not the knowledge of exist self in terms of I am up to now of a thought. Consciousness is not a cognition. Consciousness is not a thought. Consciousness is not, you know, understanding. Consciousness is not the thought. But consciousness is not sense powers. Consciousness is not the powers of organs of actions. Consciousness is not the elements of the elementals. Consciousness is not the matter. Consciousness is not ignorance, avidya. Consciousness is not the power. Consciousness is not even the shakti. But what is consciousness? Consciousness is that without which, outside of which, there's no such a thing called power. Power, energy is nothing but consciousness. The thoughts are consciousness. The sense powers are consciousness. The powers of organs or actions are consciousness. Physiological functions are consciousness. The life is consciousness. Functions are consciousness. The physical body is consciousness. The gross physical body is consciousness. Every inert form, every living being outside of, except the body, is consciousness. The non-living things are consciousness. The living beings are consciousness. The movements are consciousness. The action is consciousness. The result of actions are action is consciousness. The laws which govern the results of actions are nothing but consciousness. Everything here is consciousness. But consciousness is not anything. The another word, similar synonym of the word consciousness is pure knowledge. Shuddham, jnanam, shuddham, chaitanyam. Is everything here is consciousness. All that is here is only consciousness. The grossest forms are consciousness. The grosser forms are consciousness. Gross forms are consciousness. Subtle forms are consciousness. Subtlest forms are consciousness. Everything is consciousness. But the consciousness is formless reality. All the forms are consciousness. But consciousness is formless reality. The sound form is consciousness, but consciousness is a formless reality. Devoid of sound. Consciousness, no, all the forms perceptible through sense, seeing power are consciousness, but consciousness is not, you know, not the form. Doesn't have any form. Consciousness is not the smell, but the smell is consciousness. Consciousness is not the taste, but all the tastes are consciousness. Consciousness is not pain or pleasure, but pain is consciousness, pleasure is consciousness. Consciousness is not any of the pairs of opposites, but all the pairs of opposites are nothing but consciousness. And now we use the term consciousness, consciousness. What exactly consciousness means for us, without speaking one word about consciousness, without uttering the word consciousness, we have to just see the meaning of the word consciousness as our own nature, which is nothing but the nature of the reality. The abstract formless reality is of the nature of being conscious, is the nature of knowing. Therefore, consciousness is the word implying the abstract formless reality in terms of its nature of knowing. And it is valid only as the truth of one's own self. You can never see the consciousness, never arrive at the consciousness as an object. You can never arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing as an object. Arihindra purulaha parampurulai orupodum. Arihipudu purulaha. You can never arrive at it. You can never arrive at it. This must be 100% convinced that is why Panchakosha. Why we are doing this Viveka? It's a basic introduction. It is not a new lesson. But still, here itself, now itself, you must be 100% convinced of the fact. Don't need to go and search for reality at all anywhere. Even because all that is there is only reality. But still, you cannot know the reality. Why? Whatever you see is reality, hear is reality, perceive is reality, but you cannot know the reality. You're perceiving the reality, experiencing the reality, but you cannot know what the reality is. You know why? Because it is not an object. And to understand what exactly is the reality, and that's what Shastram gives us the clue, that is why we bow to Shastram. Only Vedanta Shastram tells you this. Nowadays, everybody can speak about it. This is a fact which has been there in Veda Shastram timelessly. No, the truth is available for recognition only as the truth of one's own self, one's own mind. You have to arrive at the subtlest reality. You have to go to the subtlest of the manifestations. And that is why an human mind is a subtlest of the manifestations. Subtlest of the objects is what? Human mind. Everything else is what? Relatively gross. Grosser, grossest. Subtlest of all the manifestations is the human mind. That is why we had to go there to arrive at it. If you want to know where the water is, how, what is the truth of the ocean, you have to go to the wave closely. You have to search for the water only in wave and anywhere else. Similarly, we have to search for the reality in terms of its nature of knowing only in an instrument of knowledge. The antakaranam, the mind. But it is very difficult for us, you know, to understand this reality, obtaining in the form of pure, formless, abstract reality, the consciousness. That too, you have to see it as the truth of I. That's the most difficult thing. You know, you have to see it as the truth of I. Just as you see the water as the truth of the wave form, and you have to see the conscious, the reality, consciousness as the truth of I. I itself is a subtlest manifestation, and the truth of I. The wave is a gross form, and you can see how water is the truth of the form. Similarly, what is the truth of the subtlest form, thought form, obtaining the thought form in terms of I am. To arrive at it, it involves effort. Therefore, panchakosha vivekaha is a methodology in which you are analyzing all the aspects of individual. And all the aspects, different aspects which constitute the individual are generally said to be of three bodies. Buddha, and here, instead of saying three body, analyzing, when you analyze the individual, every individual is said to be a composition of three bodies. There's different layers. And three bodies, and along with Atma. And similarly here, three bodies are different, otherwise said to be all five layers of personality. Called koshaha. So pancha kosha vivekaha is nothing but analysis of five layers of personality. And all these layers form one human being, one individual human being. And not just these layers of personality alone. There is also Atma, because of which each and every layer of personality enjoys its status of being the existent, and it functions, thereby it is there. So what is it? No, the Atma. So here we have to analyze you can simply say you are Atma. That won't work. You have to see, understand definitely human being is a composition of all these many layers of personality. And each layer of personality has to be understood. The beauty is, when we analyze each layer of personality, we are going to understand one more thing. Even though there's no such a thing called even individual layer of personality also. When you analyze what it is, from the first we start with what? Annamayaha koshaha. Then we go to pranamayaha koshaha. Now, first we have the anatomical layer of personality, the annamayaha, the gross body, the physical, gross physical body. And we go to physiological layer of personality. We go to psychological layer of personality. Then intellectual layer of personality. Then we also go to the the blissful layer of personality. All these layers of personality. And each layer of personality is actually is non-separate from its corresponding total. Just as one wave, only one wave, ignoring all other waves, leaving all the waves in the ocean, it cannot stay alone by itself independently, which means existence of the wave, any given wave, presupposes the existence of the total ocean. Existence of the wave presupposes the existence of the ocean. The origination of the wave, existence of the wave, resolution of the wave presupposes the existence of the entire ocean. Without the ocean being around, no individual wave can come into existence by itself or enjoy its existence and go back by itself. For the wave to go back to resolve, there must be ocean, corresponding total. For the wave to exist as wave, there must be ocean. For the wave to come into existence as wave, there must be already ocean. And similarly here, for every individual human being to come into existence with this gross physical form, to appear here as a human being in gross physical form, for every human being, there must be already corresponding total gross universe. For me or for you or for any individual human being to come into existence, to be born as a human being, assuming a human form, there must already what? The total gross universe. And when you're growing, as if you exist as an individual human being also, what now? There must be the total gross universe around you. And even for you to, even after leaving the physical body, when the body falls apart also, there must be corresponding gross universe. It's impossible for one individual human physical form to exist by itself, to come into existence by itself, resolve to fall apart by itself. For anything to come, any individual form to come into existence, there must be already corresponding total. If I give the example of wave and ocean, I tell you, I always am so thankful to this wave and ocean. Thank to Shankara. You know, without, how can they make you understand? Amazing, isn't it? Using all the teachers, they never used much. Wave, ocean, water, pot and clay, using this, they taught sitting under the trees, not in proper classroom, nothing, they taught amazing facts they revealed. You know, which means the buddhi was so sharp, so focused, so meditative, no disturbance, therefore they could bring up all revelations they had. And here, this is the first thing I had to understand. Oh my God, how fact it is. Just see the ocean and the wave. Is it possible for something called wave to exist by itself independently as one single wave by itself without the corresponding total ocean being around? Impossible. The wave has to originate, come into existence as wave. The wave has to be born as wave. There must be already ocean. For the wave to exist as wave, to be sustained, to live as wave, there must be ocean around. But the way to resolve is in, again go back also, there must be ocean around. Which means there is no such thing called wave by itself without the ocean being around. The same way, no individual human being or no individual creature, no individual living being can exist, come into existence by itself, exist by itself, or fall apart by itself. There is always dependence, always the total. And the total in Sanskrit language is called samashtihi, and the Indian is called vyashtihi. So, vyashtehe sthitihi, but no, samashtehe sthitau asti. The existence of the individual presupposes the existence of the corresponding total. So samashtihi is as good as the cause. Vyashtihi is as good as the effect. Why? Because vyashti always is dependent on samashti to come into existence, to survive, then to resolve also. Even to resolve, the vyashti is dependent on samashti. Samashti must be there. Only then something called resolution is possible. Therefore here, this dependence, because of this dependence, that to originate, to exist, to resolve, yashti is dependent on samashti. Samashti must be there. Therefore samashti is as good as the cause, yashti is as good as the effect. Why? Because of its dependence. Effect always is dependent on cause for its existence. And now, because vyashti is pervaded by the samashti, but samashti cannot be pervaded by the vyashti, isn't it? The total pervades the individual. The individual cannot pervade the total. The total is inclusive of yashti. Samashti is inclusive of yashti. Yashti cannot include samashti. Is it clear now? Therefore, and you have to understand that each layer of personality also, at each level, we have to understand this fact, how individual human being is non-separate from its corresponding total. It is the most beautiful prakriya, specifically beautifully given Taittiriya Upanishad, and Vidyaranya Swami in this text is presenting a separate topic, is what? Pancha Kosha Vivekaha, analysis of five layers of personality, which is an analysis of the individual human being. What are all the factors, what are all the aspects which constitute an individual human being, and how all these aspects are put together intelligently to be here to function as a human being. Every human being is what? An individual intelligently put together. Every form here is what? You understand the car, okay? All these spare parts kept in a heap as a heap will not serve the purpose. You can't call it a car. But all of them put intelligently becomes what? A car. Similarly, now you can understand that intelligence behind every form. You call it, given another name, Bhagavan Ishwaraha. Okay? Because who organized this? Who assembled this? We'll always ask. Who assembled these spare parts? Because he properly assembled it, that it can be called a car, it serves a purpose, it moves. It is the mechanics intelligence. Mechanics knowledge, how to, where to put the wheels, where to put the steering, where to assemble this, and he has assembled, put all the spare parts together intelligently that it can move, it can function as a car. There's intelligence. So with reference to the car, you can mechanics knowledge is what? Ishvara. Isn't it? And where the car exists where? In mechanics knowledge. The car moves as a, functions as a car where? Because of this knowledge. Intelligence. And similarly here also, with reference to the whole individual human being, and you can appreciate this beauty in every living being here, every non-living thing here. The whole universe is full of knowledge and intelligence. And what is that intelligent being? What is that intelligence? What is intelligent being? What is that knowledge? Because of the presence of which that there everything is possible here. We have to arrive at it. We start here from the outermost layer of personality called Annamayaha. Koshaha. And here there's a corresponding total. At each level, we have to understand the fact how individual human being is non-separate from the corresponding total universe. And seeing this fact of individual, all the different aspects, all the layers of personality, being non-separate from this total, being dependent on this total, is what? Seeing everything as a whole. At the material level, you see the physical level, physiological level, psychological level, intellectual level, then even the bliss level, you can see how individual is totally, absolutely non-separate from the total, corresponding total. When you see, you cannot claim this individual, all these, any of the layers as I. No layer of personality can be claimed as I or mine. You have to say, when you say, look at everything as total, you have to say, it is the Lord. It is Bhagavan. Every form is Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan. The Bhagavan, the understanding comes, Ishvara, the thought can come only when you see the fact of individual being non-separate from the total, and you understand the whole as one whole. One complete total whole. Murumai. Ishvara. And when you understand, and we at each level of understand, and finally, what cannot be negated, it will help you arrive at, when you go beyond each layer of personality, finally, the point comes where you cannot proceed anymore. You have to stop. The final thing. And where you stop is actually the reality. And you understand the reality in terms of its nature. How reality is of the nature of knowing, you have to see. And here, analysis of each kosha is like a journey, like a travel, pilgrimage. You start your pilgrimage, you start your journey from one place, and the journey has to end in another place, isn't it? And how long can the journey continue? No. is like climbing onto a mountain. And to have Bhagavan's darshanam, vision of Bhagavan. And until you reach, you see the murti in the temple and you have climbed. And on the way, as you are climbing, you are very tiring, very strenuous, because a lot of analysis involved. So you can rest and relax. Have some rest. There's a service station where you can relax and have a cup of coffee. Again, you can proceed, you know, your journey. Here also, we will be, every analysis of every layer of personality is going to be like a travel, analyze and stay, again go further. Again analyze, thoroughly understand one layer of personality, and you understand, then you go further. This is how analysis is going to be here. And what Vaitaitra Upanishad has done, and Vijayana Swami also has done the same thing here, presenting the same methodology, using the methodology for analysis of five layers of personality known as Pancha Koshaha, which constitute an individual human being. Each and every layer of personality is important for the human being to be there as a whole individual being. Without one, they cannot be human being. One alone does not make a human being. This is the Pancha Kosha Vivekaha, is the subject matter of the whole chapter. I think I have Did it make sense? Okay. Now, so we see here, and we are analyzing the koshas. We understand the existence. Finally, you have to see, without all the layers of personality, still there is existence. And the pure existence without the layers of personality, without this external world also, is of nothing but the reality, the consciousness. Arrive at it, we'll see that. Now, what is the purpose? Understanding the Sat, the truth of the whole world, obtaining as the truth of an individual, in terms of its nature of knowing, the conscious. See the first verse now. Buhahitam brahma yattat. Buhahitam brahma yattat. Pancha kosha vivekatah. Pancha kosha vivekatah. Bodhum shakyam tata kosha panchakam pravivichyate. Buhahitam brahma satyatat. Buhahitam brahma yattat. The very first verse is inspiring verse, highly. Buhahitam brahma yattat. Pancha kosha vivekatah bodhum shakyam tatah kosha panchakam pravivichyate. So here, very first verse, opening verse, Vidyaranya Swami tells us the purpose of analyzing the five koshas, five layers of personality. No way. The purpose of this analysis is not mentioned. We will get restless. We will get disturbed. We cannot focus. We'll ask, why, what's the purpose? Why simply is boring like this? So the very beginning itself, purpose must be set. Okay? Then we will, even though analysis will take very long, very strenuous, Sometimes it may be boring, but still we'll sustain our interest. Listen to the teaching completely until we stumble upon the truth and keep, you know, it's like a hunting, treasure hunt. We go into the cave searching for the big piece of diamond solitaire, and it's all dark, dark, everywhere dark. But still you get very tired, you may come back halfway. No, what you're going to gain is the most valuable, the priceless, you know, the thing. And once you get it, you are the richest person. And nothing, you are accomplished of everything, means that you already should know. Then somehow you will manage all the hardships on the way, isn't it? What you are going to benefit from, benefit, if that is already known, then you will try to put up with all the hardships you have on the way to attain it, isn't it? You should know the value of it. You go there, you get one gilukai there. Who will you be interested? Or someone will give you a nice cup of coffee. Who will be interested? I don't want to go there all the way, struggle and go there. So you must know the value of what you're going to gain. Then it is worth taking up the risk, isn't it? All hardships. Similarly also, the purpose is revealed in the very first opening verse. What is the purpose of analyzing 5 layers of personality? This is the only way you can arrive at the truth in terms of its nature of consciousness, in terms of nature of knowledge, that is only as a truth of one's own self. Why can't I know this? Why can't I know the truth as the truth of the world? Then let me come to know. No, it is not possible. Because truth has to be understood only in terms of its nature of knowing. And having arrived at the truth, you have to see it is this knowledge, it is this truth, which is of the nature of knowing, lends existence to the whole entire objective universe. There's no existence of the world outside of this truth. That has to become very clear. You have to see that Satya is Chit and Chit is Satya. Okay, that is very important. That is how you can resolve, not only you are not only resolving the individuality in the already as you're analyzing each layer of personality, you're resolving the individual, whole individual human physical form, whole individual material form, subtle form, gross form, everything in its corresponding total. And you have to shift helplessly the eye sense from all of them. And you do not know, you'll be hanging. Where to put eye sense? That is where you have to resolve it only in the truth. That is why it is Atma Samarpanam, Atma Nivedanam, is offering of one's own self. You will see all those things beautifully here. So, the purpose is, so pravivichyate, vivichyate means discerned, is discerned. But pravivichyate means prakarshena vichyate, means carefully, properly, thoroughly discerned, analyzed. Okay, understood discriminatively, discerned, not distinctly. Pravivichyate means thoroughly, distinctly, properly understood. Vivichyate. So, what is discerned here? Kosha panchakam. Kosha panchakam means a set of 5 layers of personality. All the 5 layers of personality is a thorough analysis, thoroughly analyzed. Now, the set of 5 layers of personality is thoroughly analyzed, which means all the layers of personality are thoroughly analyzed. Suppose, pancha koshaha pravivichyante. it must be in pravivichyante pancha koshaha pravivichyante. The kosha panchakam pravivichyate. A set of five layers of personality is thoroughly analyzed, distinctly understood, discerned. Otherwise, you say pancha koshaha pravivichyante or analyzed. Why is analyzed or are analyzed? A set of five is analyzed, five are analyzed. Therefore, kosha panchakam pravivichyate. Now, tataha, tataha means therefore, tasmat. Tataha is an indeclinable word which means therefore, tasmat, due to that reason, because of that reason, the set of five layers of personality are thoroughly, distinctly discerned, analyzed. Kasmat, kutaha, why? What's the purpose? It is said about bodhum shakyam. Bodhum shakyam. It is possible to know. Bodhum is infinitive. To know. Bodhum means what? To know. To know what? To know. Shakyam, possible. It is possible to know. It is possible to know what? Brahma, bodhum, shakyam. It is possible to know. It is possible to arrive at. It is possible to understand the absolute reality of the entire cosmos, the truth of the entire cosmos. Implied by the term Brahma, it is possible to understand the truth. Brahma bodhum shakyam. Brahma bodhum shakyam. It is possible to understand the truth implied by the term Brahma. It is possible to understand Brahma. Katam bodhum shakyam. You know, kidrusham brahma bodhum shakyam. Which sort of brahma? The reality guhahitam. Guhahitam. Guha means cave. And what is the cave? You don't go to any other cave. Your mind is the cave. You know, I tell you, all the caves have some, all the caves are some, supposed to have some hidden treasures. The caves are said to have hidden treasures. Are the most precious, the most valuable treasure is hidden where? In your own, in the cave of your mind. Guha hitam. Guha hitam. Guhayam nihitam. See, Taittiriya Upanishad sentence is using Yo Vedagnihi Tanguhayam Paramevyo Man. First it says, you know, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Yo Vedanihi Tanguhayam Paramevyo Man. So Oshnute Sarvan Kamaan Saha. See, that is the proof, okay? Vidyaranya Swami does not write his own story. So he, the source, whatever he has given, the authentic source of the facts revealed in his textbook is what now? Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad. And that is the word guha is used, where individual human mind, antahkaranam, is likened to a cave. Which means you have to dig the cave. You have to now go, you don't need to dig the cave, you have to go penetrating into the cave and you have to reach the dead end of the cave beyond which you cannot move and where you can discover this. Isn't it? So, it is said here, Brahma, Guhahitam Brahma, bodhum shakyam. It is possible to arrive at the absolute reality, Brahma, available for recognition only in the cave of mind, which is kept as though hidden in the mind. The mind cannot hide the reality, but still as though hidden. It is not located there. It is everywhere. Everything is located in the reality. Reality, please understand, everything is located in reality. Reality is not located in anything, but a location is location of discovery. Okay, not the location of existence. Where is Brahma? Everywhere Brahman is. Where is water? Everywhere water is in the ocean. So water is all pervasive with reference to ocean. The truth, the reality of the whole universe is all pervasive. Everywhere Brahma. But still, where is it available for recognition? Only in the cave of mind. Therefore, a location of discovery where Brahman is available for recognition, that is your mind. So, Brahma guha nihitam, Brahma bodham shakyam. It is possible to discover, to arrive at, to stumble upon the reality, Brahma, hidden as though hidden in the cave of human mind, antakarnam. And how? Panchakosha vivekataha. By the analysis, through the analysis of 5 layers of personality of an individual human being, which is an thorough analysis of a human being individual, it is possible to arrive at the truth hidden in the cave of mind. If we don't analyze, it is difficult. It is like trying to leap from the bottom of the hill to the peak of the hill. Instead of trying to leap, you can climb slowly, step by step, and at some point you will helplessly, choicelessly arrive at the peak. Then it is possible. So it won't cause any accidents or damage, and you would definitely arrive at it. It's a gradual, climbing, careful climbing, when you're climbing, you see that you're resolving the ambiguity, you're resolving the vagueness, you're resolving the doubts, you will resolve everything. Every level, you go fresh the next level. Right? All the doubts you have, you resolve about the physical body. All the doubts about physiological functions, you resolve. And you are clear what it is, what it is not. Very clear what is the nature. And you go. So no doubts, no ambiguity, no vagueness. You just go through the thorough analysis. You move gradually, step by step, you climb, and finally you reach the peak. It is not a leap. It is not a fast leap, but it's a very gradual, careful, thoughtful, attentive journey of traveling, journey from the grossest outermost layer of personality to the subtlest layer of personality in terms of anandamaya. Ignorance. I can say ignorance. Ignorance is also one of the layers of personality. Subtlest layer of personality is ignorance. Instead of saying, we don't like it to say ignorance. So we say bliss sheet. Okay? People call it some bliss sheet. In where ignorance. Ajnanam is also the subtlest layer of personality. Travel, and then you have to see what is beyond that ignorance? What is distinct from that ignorance? Then you have to resolve the ignorance in the same reality. Therefore, here, yat tat guhahitam brahma yat tat panchakosha vivekataha bodham shakyam. It is possible to arrive at the reality Brahma hidden in the cave of mind through the thorough analysis of five layers of personality. Tataha, therefore, the analysis of the five layers of personality is here now. All the layers of personality are analyzed. Pravivichyate, singular word, a set of layers, five layers is analyzed. You can say five layers are analyzed. Okay, pancha koshaha prakarshena vivichyate means pahut aridal. You know, pahut aridal, isn't it? You vivichya jnanam, isn't it? Vichyate is distinct discerning is what here analysis. Guhahitam brahma yattat panchakosha vivekatah bodhum shakyam tatah kosha panchakam pravivichyate. So can you go is what? Guhahitam brahma yat tat panchakosha vivekataha bodhum shakyam. Full stop. Tataha, therefore, kosha panchakam pravivichyate. It is the prosodam. Got it? I know it took long time today to introduce the topic because I'm seeing all of you after a long time for Panchadeshi class. That's why it took very long and we will be progressing. Seeing Rakesh ji also, I think I was inspired to say more. Anyway. Dehadabhyantarah pranaha. Now he just introduces the big slow introduction. Dehadabhyantarah pranaha. Dehadabhyantarah pranaha. Pranadabhyantaram manaha. Pranadabhyantaram manaha. Dehadabhyantarah pranaha. Pranadabhyantaram manaha. Tatah karta tato bhokta. Guha seyam parampara. Dehadabhyantarah pranah. Pranadabhyantaram manah. Tatah karta tato bhokta guha seyam parampara. Now you can see here dehat abhyantarah pranah abhyantarah. See, antarah means inside, interior too. But abhi antaraha, abhi is a prefix, abhi plus antaraha, abhyantaraha. Abhyantaraha means immediately, next. What is next? Immediately next. He is next to whom? Immediately next. So abhyantaraha. Okay? Abhyantaraha. So, Dehat abhyantaraha, because we start from the deha. we are going what's called Akanksha Paddhati in language learning also. Knowing the unknown through the known. Knowing the unknown through the known is called Akanksha Paddhati. The method of arriving at the unknown, knowing the unknown through the known. Now you know what? All of us, the grossest perceptible, tangible, experienceable, objectifiable, the gross physical body, which is said to be an abode of enjoyment. You know, bhoga ayatanam, physical body. We got now here, we start from here. It is called dehaha. We start from the dehaha. Okay? Dehaha. Now we have to first explain why this gross physical body is called dehaha. Now, dehaha means dahyate iti dehaha. Dahya manatvat dehaha. That which is burnt. Constantly burnt. The body is what? Storehouse of energy. Energy is, you know, energy in the form of food is consumed, is a machine. Energy in the form of food is converted into energy. Energy is again exhausted also. And finally, this body has to be what now? It eats the food. The body which eats the food is also what? Food. Modified form of food. It eats the food. Again, this is going to be eaten also. So what is eaten is food. What is eating is also food. And that which is subject to get burnt is called dehaha. Dahya manatvat dehaha. Dahya manatvat deha means that which is subject to get burnt. Okay, is dehaha. Constantly, the constant production of energy and exhaustion of energy. That's why it's just, and there's burning of energy here. And again what? Also finally is going to get burnt also. Therefore, dahya manatvat deha and this physical body is the outermost layer of personality and abhyanta dehat abhyantaraha. Panchami vibhakti, dehat. Dehatinindra ulle. Okay? Dehat abhyantaraha. From the outermost layer of personality, the body, what is interior to immediately next to this body is pranaha. So annamayaha first. Deha is annamayaha. Yes, I'll mention it here. You're going to see later on. The whole chapter is going to analyze. And now, abhyantara pranaha. Pranamayaha koshaha. Pranad abhyantaram manaha. The next to prana, we have what? This is like a cave really. This cave starts, the mind is the cave. But still, even before the mind, it is like the entering. You have to enter the jungle. Big jungle before you go to the cave. Isn't it? Somewhere in the home. Like this pranat abhyantaram manaha, the mind, the emotional layer of personality is immediately next to the physiological layer of personality called pranamayaha. Koshaha. And tataha. Thereafter, after the prana, you have manaha, and tataha karta tato bhokta. Who is this karta, the doer, and who is the bhokta, the enjoyer? The doer and enjoyer are nothing but intellectual layer of personality. Vijnanamaya koshaha, tarta and bhokta, doer and enjoyer stand for, I want to give a literal meaning, next class you'll see. I'll do the next class, I'll start from this verse only, second verse only. So Karta and Bhokta are intellectual layer of personality. There is Vijnanamaya Kosha. Then after the Vijnanamaya Kosha, we have what? So here after the Vijnanamaya Kosha, we have what? Here, Karta Bhokta, then it is not said. Then comes Anandamaya Kosha. That is Ajnanam. Avidya. Now we have to, I want to give the literal meaning today. I have to explain this verse. We'll do it next class. Sa Iyam Guha Parampara. Sa Iyam Seyam. Sa that Guha, that cave, now is sequentially in this form. Okay. Iyam means this. Parampara. Parampara means the series of layers of personality is called parampara. One after the other, the continuous, one after the other, immediate layers of personality, a series of layers form what now? Parampara here. Where there are many, these five different layers of personality, one after the other, next, immediately next to the other, they are here. But what is the outermost is Annamayaha. Interior to Annamaya is the Pranamaya. Then we have Manaha. And here he said Manaha. He didn't use Buddhihi. He said what? Karta Bhokta stand for Vijnanamaya. And after Vijnanamaya, he taught. Because ignorance is something, ignorance you can't talk now. He has stopped here. Now why? Ignorance we have to understand. There's ignorance we can't even, it's a much subtler. Ignorance itself is subtle. And what about the reality we have, which is beyond ignorance? So, I'll start my, the chapter, begin the chapter next to the class, next class. From the second verse, which we just read it today. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.